Intro Singularity. A Stray Kids podfic written by There Is No Reality and read to you by Fens and Marshes. Changbin gets back upstairs when the sun is just starting to set. Typically, at this time, the building would bustle with activity. Workout classes letting out next door, people milling around the lobby, checking mail and chatting to the doorman and the lady who sat at the front desk to scan in visitors, groceries being delivered by harried workers, the elevators chock-full ferrying people up to their homes, the never-ending noise of city traffic right outside their gilded doors. It's a big building, full of people, full of life, typically. These days, life has been anything but typical. Changbin toes off his shoes and sets them in the small sanitizing box he'd bought when things first started to go awry, pulls off his sweatshirt and socks and immediately walks to the laundry closet, stripping all his clothes off right then and there. Naked except for his underwear, he makes a beeline to the shower, and only after he's cocooned himself in the bathroom and washed his hands does he finally take off the mask. His reflection peers back at him through the steam already filling the room, sweaty hair flattened to his forehead, chest flushed and red from the heavy workout he'd put himself through. Their apartment gym had finally reopened with great caution and several emails about the strict rules they were enforcing. No more than 2 people in the gym at a time, sign-up times would go up every evening at 6 p.m. for the next day, masks were mandatory. Changbin's gym has been closed for weeks now with no mention of reopening, so the apartment gym it is. He'd have taken just a single weight rack and nothing else after being cooped up in the apartment for so many weeks, unending and monotonous, with only his handful of dumbbells to burn off energy. Their apartment gym had been a relief after that. When he gets out of the shower, he washes his hands again, just as a precaution, and hobbles across the hallway to his room for clothes, catching a glimpse of the living room curtains that are still shut against the setting sun as he passes. He frowns, but dresses slowly, pulling on comfortable sweats and a loose t-shirt, foregoing underwear for the night. There's no noise from Jisung's room, but Changbin knows he's in there. There's nowhere else to go. He knocks once and then pushes open the door without waiting for a response. Jisung's room is dark and cluttered, his unmade bed pushed up against the corner under the windows that have been draped shut with blackout curtains. A large desk takes up most of the space, 3 monitors hooked up to each other with a dizzying array of wires, speakers nestled in the crooks, a MIDI keyboard, a regular keyboard, and a piano keyboard all haphazardly stacked near and atop each other. Jisung, hunched over his chair with massive headphones on, doesn't look at Changbin as he enters. Changbin regards him for a moment, and then crosses to the window and pulls the curtains open without a warning. Jisung flinches. He knows without having to look, because he hears the chair scrape against the desk, the rubber dragging against the wood in an unpleasant tone, and then Jisung's headphones are clattering on the desk. Hyung. Changbin pins back the curtains and then leans over Jisung's bed, one knee on the crumpled sheets, and pushes the windows open, a blast of chilly, fresh air sweeping into the stuffy room. When he turns back, Jisung is watching him wide-eyed, his knees drawn up to his chest, finger at his mouth, already ripping the skin there to shreds. Changbin sighs and pushes off the bed, gently tugs Jisung's hand away from his mouth. "I'm back from the gym," he says, rather unnecessarily. How long did I say I was going to be gone? Jisung blinks up at him, his teeth worry at his lower lip. 2 hours, he replies after a beat, voice soft. Well, at least it's not irritation. Changbin's too exhausted to push back against a stubborn Jisung. He will if he has to, but he'd rather not tonight. And what did I tell you to do while I was gone? Ji-sung swallows, looks away for a moment at his computer where Logic Pro is still open, instrumentals stacked atop each other in an array of dizzying colors. He looks back at Chungbin and his knees tuck in tighter. I got busy, he says, still quiet. I know, I remember what you said, but then I got an email from Chanhyeong and I just wanted to get one part done for him before it got too late and... Ji-sung-a. Ji-sung's mouth snaps shut. Chungbin looks at him and then moves back, so he's not looming over Ji-sung's seated form, and Ji-sung's face spasms, hand twitching where it's clenched around his sweats. Hyung, no. I'm just sitting down, Chungbin cuts across him, to stave off Ji-sung's panic before it has a chance to well up. He perches on the end of Ji-sung's bed and then reaches out, snags the underside of Ji-sung's chair and rolls it closer so the edge of it brushes the mattress. They're inches apart, and here Chungbin can see every inch of Ji-sung, the dark circles that perpetually shadow his cheeks, chapped lips, the empty holes in his ears where, once upon a time, multiple earrings used to sit, flashy and bright. Ji-sung doesn't wear earrings these days. Ji-sung doesn't do much of anything these days, but Chungbin can't hold that against him, not when the whole world seems to be in a period of stasis, mourning and terrified all at once. What did I tell you to do before I left? He asks again. Ji-sung's lashes flutter, and his lip gets tugged back under vicious teeth that worry about it. You told me to stop working, open the curtains in the living room, and go sit on the balcony without my phone for 20 minutes. And then you told me to take a hot shower. Did you do that? Ji-sung almost flinches again, but it's not fear so much as it is a jittery burst of energy that he can't quite keep contained. It's too much for him, Chungbin knows, to be cooped up like this, to have his routine slashed to nothing, to remain captive in their apartment. Even if they have a bigger one than most, even if they live in a luxury building that has most of its own amenities, cut down as they are these days. It's too much for Chungbin some days, and he doesn't have half of Ji-sung's anxieties. Hyung, Ji-sung says again. I swear, I just got busy. I was going to do what you said. Ji-sung. I didn't. Ji-sung bursts out, tears already shining in his eyes. His whole body is scrunched up as small as it can get, vibrating and shuddering. I'm sorry, okay? I didn't listen. Chungbin regards him, debating internally which way he should take this. It's difficult, like balancing on a tightrope 300 feet over a ravine with a weight on his back. He'd done so much research when they first started, even bit the bullet and called up Mino thousands of kilometers away for advice, forcing a vulnerability that burned through his veins like battery acid. Ji-sung had taken to quarantine terribly, spiraling quicker than Chungbin knew how to help, and every step forward was immediately followed by four rapid steps back. It was just the two of them, locked up in this apartment, still making music that barely seemed to matter when the whole world seemed like it was falling apart, and it was only Chungbin as witness to Ji-sung following right behind it. In the end, it had just been them, the width of their dining table, the only barrier, and Chungbin's simple, shaky words. You aren't taking care of yourself. Let me do it for you. So, here they are, months later. Whether it's better or worse in the long term, Chungbin really can't say, but at least he isn't waking up to Ji-sung sobbing through another sleep terror in the middle of the night. At least Ji-sung isn't practically catatonic during the day. At least Chungbin's helping, somehow. Now, in the center of the hurricane that is Ji-sung's room, Chungbin sighs and lets his body slump, shoulders curving inward, telegraphing his body language clearly to a Ji-sung who is definitely watching. I'm not mad at you, he says first, because that's important, to Ji-sung who has to hear it, and for Chungbin who needs a starting point, a boundary he has to draw before he can move any further in this little routine of theirs. Calling it a game sounds too trivial for what they do, what they are. I'm not here to yell at you or punish you, yes? Ji-sung nods shakily, his lips still under the unrelenting press of his teeth, and Chungbin reaches over and presses his thumb gently against Ji-sung's mouth. Stop hurting yourself, then. Wide-eyed, tears still shimmering at the corners of his eyes, Ji-sung lets his lip go, and Chungbin tuts once as he brushes the blood off with his thumb, eyeing the raw skin underneath. He licks it off without thinking twice about it, and Ji-sung's already large eyes double at that, a strangled soft noise escaping him. Ji-sung's blood twangs at his taste receptors, metallic and paradisic. Why do I tell you to do things? Why did I tell you to go outside today? Because you don't trust me to take care of myself, is Ji-sung's response, mulish and quick, despite the tremble to his words, still on the verge of tears. Try again, Chungbin tells him, even if it is true. Ji-sung can't take care of himself, not right now, so Chungbin's doing it for him. Ji-sung's mouth curves downward, a pout Chungbin's all too familiar with. It barely sways him. Right now, all he's focused on is getting Ji-sung put back together. Because you want me to take breaks and not overwork myself. It's such a thin line, practically microscopic in its existence, doing this for someone who's essentially his colleague. It'll become a problem when they stop working out of their bedrooms and have to go back into the studio, when they have to leave this cocoon they've built for just the two of them, insulatory and codependent. But until then, Chungbin's happy to play ignorant, play blind, and keep doing this for Ji-sung. It's certainly not a selfless act, no matter how much Ji-sung views it as such. He nods. Because you burn out if you don't take breaks, and we don't want that to happen. He doesn't mention what happened last time that happened. It's not a good memory for either of them. Ji-sung slumps impossibly further, crunching into himself. Yeah, I know, he says miserably. I'm sorry. Chungbin nods. Thank you for apologizing. It had felt so weird to say that in the beginning, to pull this heavy shroud of responsibility over himself. He'd felt so awkward, like play-acting a role both of them knew he wasn't right for. But if anything, Chungbin's good at persevering, and he's good at being what people need him to be. And Ji-sung needed him to be this. It's a natural place to end this already fraught conversation, so Chungbin straightens his back and then stands, knocking Ji-sung's chair back with his knees as he does. He holds out a hand to Ji-sung. Come on. Ji-sung still looks unsure as he takes Chungbin's hand. What are we doing? You are taking a shower, Chungbin says, opening Ji-sung's door again, pulling him across the hall and into the bathroom. And I am making dinner. He turns the shower on and twists around to find Ji-sung still standing there against the door jamb, practically drowning in his overlarge shirt. Chungbin raises an eyebrow. Are you going to get in, or is this going to turn into a me giving you a bath situation? Ji-sung looks horrified and immediately springs into motion, yanking his shirt off and tossing it on the floor with a disgusted noise. Ugh, get out, Hyung! Chungbin snickers and leaves, the heaviness that always comes with these conversations dissipating as he turns on the hallway light, brightening their apartment up a little. He ignores the mess of Ji-sung's room for now and ruffles around in his closet for clean clothes, dropping them on the bathroom counter for Ji-sung before heading to the kitchen to start dinner. Chungbin's no genius in the kitchen, but they're both trying to avoid ordering delivery as much as they can, for their health and the obvious reasons. So he's had to get better at it, out of pure survival, if nothing else, because Ji-sung, left to his own devices, will have ready-made ramen for every meal until he dies of a sodium-induced heart attack. Chungbin pulls out whatever vegetables they have in the fridge and sets out to make a simple pasta that turns out fine, if a little overcooked and bland. He's just setting out the plates when Ji-sung gets out of the bathroom. He shuffles to the kitchen, shrouded in his hoodie, cheeks pink from the heat of the shower, and slumps in his chair across from Chungbin, drawing his knees back up to his chest with a huff. I showered. Good job. Changbin rolls his eyes as he turns away to grab cutlery, but notes the way Jisung shivers and pinkens a little at that. Ah, it's going to be that kind of night, then. They eat dinner in comfortable silence, the quiet only broken by Jisung's leg rattling the table as he shakes it relentlessly, knee bouncing against the underside. Changbin sticks his legs out and traps Jisung's calf between his feet, and Jisung stills immediately, ears turning pink. Changbin ignores it, focuses on his dinner, and only looks up when his fork scrapes up the last bit of broccoli, to Jisung's expectant gaze, the way his fingers are knotting around themselves again and again. What? Jisung blushes, opens his mouth.
Aren't you going to...
His voice trails off, and Changbin lifts an eyebrow, if only to see Jisung's blush grow, spreading across the bridge of his nose charmingly. What? He asks again, voice a little lower this time, dry, darker. What do you want from me, Jisung? Jisung flushes deeper. His eyes dart all over Changbin's face, and his fingers dig into his sweatshirt.
Aren't you... I didn't listen earlier.
Changbin hums. I know. He lets the silence linger for a minute and then grants Jisung mercy. I did say I wasn't going to punish you. Discipline isn't punishment, exactly. Not that Jisung needs to know that. Changbin prefers keeping Jisung on the back foot whenever he can. And Jisung with an advantage can get dangerous, even if Changbin technically holds all the control between them. Technicalities have nothing on Jisung, he's found. Jisung slumps, disappointment washing off him in waves, and Changbin cracks a grin. I could make you wash the dishes if you want a punishment that badly. That's a terrible punishment, Jisung protests, eyes flashing up to Changbin, mutinous. Is it? Changbin laughs. He gets up and winds around the table and closes a palm around the back of Jisung's neck, making him look up at Changbin. Isn't that the whole point? Jisung's mouth drops open, his eyes already going glassy. He tries to speak, chest hitching, but all that comes out is a soft, shaky gasp. All it takes is Changbin's hands on him, and he's already going, gone. Changbin swallows thickly and squeezes Jisung's neck. 20 minutes on the balcony, he tells him, voice low, compulsory. Deep breaths, leave your phone. Jisung, staring up at him, just nods. Changbin steps back. Make sure you wear socks, it's cold outside. Jisung goes. Changbin keeps one eye on Jisung as he does the dishes and cleans up the kitchen. He's leaning up against the balcony rails, cutting a dramatic figure against the darkening horizon in his sweatshirt, his hair blowing in the wind. Soon, Changbin finishes up for the night and flicks the kitchen light off, dropping down on the sofa with a sigh. A beer would be perfect right now, but Changbin has a strict rule with himself about these types of nights with Jisung, and being completely sober is near the top of the list. Jisung makes his way back in a few minutes past the 20-minute mark, but Changbin makes no mention of it. His face is clearer than before, and little tension remains in his shoulders. The fresh air had helped, the space, the reminder that there was more to the world outside these four walls. It always does. Jisung just tends to forget. Feeling better? Changbin asks as Jisung slides the balcony door shut and locks it. He turns back to Changbin and nods mutely, hands scrunched in his hoodie pocket. Changbin nods back and pats the sofa beside him. He waits until Jisung's perched on the end and then reaches out to tip his chin up with two fingers, waiting for Jisung to meet his gaze. It takes a moment. It always does. Jisung fights it sometimes, even if he wants it. Changbin can sympathize. How difficult it must be to give up all control to someone else, to relinquish your body to another person, to allow them to carry all of you, your blood, bones, and soul, trust weighing every inch of you down in their hands. When he does finally meet Changbin's gaze,
Jisung's eyes are wet, wanting. "You want to do this?" Changbin asks, like he always does. Jisung nods, a barely there movement, but it's not enough. Changbin doesn't mind navigating a nonverbal Jisung usually, but here it's important. "Words, Jisung-a. Give me a yes or no." Jisung's mouth opens, but it takes a few seconds for his voice to come out.
"Yes."
"Okay," Changbin replies, just as soft, tenderness imbued into his voice. Jisung's lashes flutter, face slackening with relief, and then Changbin speaks again, tone backed with steel now. "Get on your knees." He spreads his legs and watches with no small amount of awe as Jisung drops to his knees with a shudder, clumsily making his way between Changbin's thighs. Changbin lays a tentative hand on Jisung's hair, and Jisung sighs, pressing into it, eyes shut, expression lax and open. Changbin strengthens his touch now that he knows it's welcome, and runs his fingers through Jisung's hair. "Put your hands behind your back," he says quietly, and Jisung does, holding one wrist with the other. "Head down." He guides Jisung until his head is leaning against Changbin's left thigh, the weight of his head warm and steadying against Changbin. It would be too much to ask Jisung to keep his head upright, too cruel. On nights like these, Jisung hates pain. "Keep your eyes closed, baby." Jisung shudders just a little at the endearment Changbin only lets slip when he's like this, and then he goes still. Changbin watches him for a minute, the loose line of his shoulders completely relaxed, his lashes shadowing his cheeks, the steady in and out of his breath. He brushes Jisung's hair off his eyes and then lays his hand on the back of Jisung's neck. Jisung's mouth drops open, breath going ragged just for a minute, before he slips down, down, down. Changbin keeps him there. He turns on the television for some background noise and keeps the volume low so it doesn't bother Jisung, but he hardly pays attention to the screen, finds it difficult to look away from Jisung at all. It has to be creepy for Changbin to stare at Jisung for so long, but he can't bring himself to stop. Jisung, floating somewhere unreachable, clearly doesn't seem to mind. It's heady, the weight of Jisung's trust cradled in his hands like this. It goes to Changbin's head, to his cock, which stiffens out, heavy and thick against his hip. Changbin ignores it. He can't look away. Almost an hour goes by before Changbin speaks. The living room is dark by this point. The only light filtering in is the moon, high and full in the sky, and the lights from the nearby buildings. A city that never sleeps, quiet and unassuming these days. Dully bright, as if only propelled by expectation. Changbin rubs his thumb in a gentle circle on the back of Jisung's neck to start slowly pulling him out of the reverie. "Jisung-a." It always takes a minute, maybe more, for Jisung to stir, but Changbin doesn't push it. He's happy to wait, to sit here and drink in the minutiae of Jisung's expressions, the way his face twitches as Changbin's words and touch reach him, down deep wherever he is, eyebrows drawing together slightly, lips parting, a shaky inhale, the first indication he's coming back to Changbin. Changbin hums, stroking Jisung's hair with his other hand, scraping his nails delicately against Jisung's scalp. And Jisung shudders, the first proper sign of movement he's let out since Changbin put him on his knees. "There you go, baby. Come back to me." Jisung's mouth opens, and an exhale leaves him in a puff of air. His lashes flutter once, twice, a handful of times before he opens his eyes. They're dazed and unfocused, but when he looks up at Changbin, his expression takes Changbin's breath away, like it always does. The raw faith, the desire, the openness that strips his guards down, pulls him apart, bearing him down to his neurons and cells, leaving him desperate and wanting. All of it, right under Changbin's palms, waiting for him to take. "Come here," Changbin whispers, and he hauls Jisung up off his knees. He struggles to stand, legs clearly numb, but Changbin helps him up off the ground and pulls him into his lap before Jisung tries to put any weight on his fate. Jisung curls into him immediately, his hands fisting at Changbin's shirt, knees bracketing Changbin's hips, pressed as close to him as he can physically get, like he's trying to crawl inside Changbin's body, like he's trying to become part of him. Changbin, not one for overt touching, can never deny Jisung this. We'll even go so far as to admit that he craves it too, the comforting weight of Jisung against him, the way his face presses into the crook of his neck, the warmth of his skin against Changbin's.
"Please,"
Jisung whispers, and it comes out cracked and thready, barely there, his voice hoarse from disuse.
"Please, Hyung."
"Yeah, baby," Changbin says tenderly, desire roaring through him like an open flame on kerosene. He keeps his hands gentle, his touch light, as he slides a palm down between their bodies and closes his hand around Jisung's stiff cock. It ends in different ways, all the times they've done this. Sometimes Jisung will rut against Changbin's leg before he's even fully aware, panting against his sweats, brow furrowed, soft, shaky noises escaping him, chasing his pleasure while Changbin watches. Sometimes Changbin will take out his cock and jerk himself off while Jisung looks on, desperate and aching, hands still clasped behind his back, desire darkening his expression. Sometimes Jisung will suck him off with Changbin's hands on his head, dictating his movements, pushing him down and up, making Jisung gag and choke and drool all over himself. Sometimes they don't even come. Sometimes Changbin will haul Jisung up and carry him to his bed, because it's always neatly made, unlike Jisung's, and pull Jisung into his arms and hold him until Jisung falls asleep. Tonight, it's slow. Tonight, Changbin strokes Jisung with a devastating surety, lets Jisung rut against his hand and whimper and beg straight in his ear. He keeps the pace steady and unhurried, despite Jisung's throaty whines. Pulls the orgasm from Jisung like unspooling a skein of thread, drawing it out from him with a light touch as Jisung hiccups, open mouth pressed against Changbin's neck, and grinds against him. Jisung shudders when he comes, all over Changbin's hand, over himself, a high-pitched whimper escaping him before he slumps against Changbin, panting. Changbin runs his other hand down his spine soothingly.
"Good?"
Jisung nods and then, surprisingly, sweetly, presses a kiss to Changbin's neck.
"Thank you,"
he slurs against his skin, that spot where his lips touched starting to burn. Changbin's cock throbs, his skin tingles, every inch of Jisung is so warm against him, his breathing slowing down, mouth still pressed up against Changbin.
"Hyung-ah."
Changbin stares unseeing at the balcony, the television opposite him, his heart thundering deep under his ribs, sheltered in his chest.
Fuck. This...
it wasn't supposed to turn out like this. He was supposed to keep his distance, keep it friendly, keep it casual, just something to help Jisung out, to keep both of them from losing their minds cooped up in these four walls. Changbin wasn't supposed to feel... this.
"You're welcome, baby,"
he says, and his voice is hoarse.
Fuck.
The end. Thank you for listening. This was Intro Singularity by There Is No Reality. 그때